Yes. Trump's Twitter, Trump's tranny twit tricks. 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 Yes. But he's still the cuckin' Fuhrer. Oh, man, I'm stretching. Oh, yes. All right. I think we're good to go here. It's going to be a good day. I'm feeling it. Feeling it. Oh, yeah. All right. Whew. What's up, bitches?
You can scream and shout with all your might.
Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, sniffle, piss, moan, look for a motherfucking safe space. You can shove your opinions up your ass that way the cuck and furious cock has something to keep it company.
Either you are wrong or I am right.
Don't forget, if you have a present, the most likely, the third possibility, you are wrong and I am right. Go fuck yourselves. Greetings, boys and girls, bitches and bitchettes, friends and enemies. I am the Great One himself, founder of Cynical Libertarian Society. This is Stating the Obvious podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile my intellect owns and destroys my motherfucking status. All around the world. Doesn't matter where you are. Does not matter whether you're in a third world country shithole, a first world country, or if you're living in the zero world. We have zero world problems. They're terrible, terrible things to have, aren't they? Alright, getting myself situated here. Got a mug of hot mint tea. Got some newspaper articles. We're gonna have some fun. This is all a bunch of stuff. We're still going through the pile of things that were sent to me. Great. Yeah, we're off to a great start here. Sent to me by my left-wing statist mother. There's some good shit in here. Yeah, if you want to send me email, it's God. That's fur baby spelled backwards. God at CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. Thank you. I think it was Edward. Don't have the email open because I'm being good, Edward. Or if I got the name wrong, sorry about that. I got your email, the video to the Chris Cantwell video. I will take a look at that. And that might give me a chance to talk about something I want to talk about in regards to all of these people who are all into National Socialism, Chris Cantwell being one of them. Christopher Cantwell, I haven't listened to his podcast lately because I am so fucking far behind. But I do like Christopher's podcast until the callers start calling in, and then I'm done with it because I don't want to listen. I hate callers. I don't like it in any fucking format whatsoever. Even when I listened to Rush Limbaugh back in the day, I would usually not listen on Fridays because it was open, whatever it was. Like the caller, he let the callers pick the topics. I'm just like, I don't want to listen to fucking dipshits calling in and rambling about stuff. Hey, Chris, you know, yeah, I really hate Jews also. And, you know, the other day, man, I was buying some Bitcoin and I found this really good website. You can buy Bitcoin. It's like, dude, shut up. Just shut up. No one wants to hear that shit, okay? Anyhow, I agree with a lot of things Christopher Cantwell says. We have some disagreements, of course. But but I need more hot tea. I was going to say something. There's something else really pressing I was going to say before we jump into this. Oh, I know what it was. I know all of you have been probably losing sleep. I know you've been really concerned. I've gotten thousands and thousands of emails on this topic. I know you guys have really been worried about the fact that I could not get Dungeon Siege 2 to work on my computer. And so, because I almost thought about releasing this podcast early, just because I know so many of you were so concerned about this, I got it to work. The problem, of course, I should have known. I should have fucking known. The problem was the antivirus software's motherfucking Bitdefender. And even after I put in an exclusion for Dungeon Siege in the fucking Bitdefender settings, the shit still doesn't fucking work right. So if I want to play Dungeon Siege, not that I've had a chance to play because I spent so much time trying to get the shit to work that I didn't have a chance to actually play the game. Finally got it functioning yesterday, figured everything out, got everything situated. I just have to turn off Bitdefender and it'll fucking go, because everything else is just a fucking just not going to happen. Goddamn fucking, I swear to God, computer software writers, just beat the shit out of all of you. All right. It's enough of that. I don't even know where to start. Let's start here. Man gets 24 years in burning of mosque. So now this is back down in Texas. This happened in the city of Victoria, Texas. And of course, when this mosque was burned down, all the virtue signalers came out, everything, yada, 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 hate, and all this other stuff. Racism, yada, 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 including, of course, my left-wing statist mother. I was like, ew, the Nazis, and ew, the racist white people, and everything else. And at the time, I'm sitting there looking at this, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, the first thing that probably happened here is that the mosque was actually burned down by Muslims themselves as a way to get sympathy. So that was my first guess. That was what I was expecting to come out. Well, apparently that's not what happened. And this is old news. We know this is not a current events show around here. This is old news, but you may not know about this because who the fuck keeps up with Victoria, Texas? It has come out who the arsonist was. Okay. Victoria, electrician convicted of arson, federal hate crime. Because remember, we got to have special crimes for special people. You can't just be convicted of arson. It's not simply wrong to burn down a building. No, no, no. What's extra wrong is if you burned down the building out of hatred. Victoria. Mark Vincent Perez. Not a white man. Mark Vincent Perez was sentenced Wednesday to more than 24 years in federal prison for burning down the Victoria Islamic Center last year, a hate crime that came to symbolize anti-Muslim sentiments across the country. See, this particular burning of this particular mosque in Victoria, Texas, which most of you have never even heard of, you see, this came to symbolize anti-Muslim sentiments in the country. Quote, "You burned down the mosque to send a message to Muslims," unquote, said U.S. District Judge John Rainey before delivering the sentence. Quote, "My sentence needs to send a message to you and everyone of a like mind," while of course ignoring the fact that you're Mexican, you're not a white person, "this conduct will not be tolerated. This must stop. It's like a cancer on our society," unquote, said the judge, who delivered a brief civics lesson to Perez about religious tolerance. So first of all, why didn't Perez get a civics lesson in the public education system that I paid for via my taxation? Secondly, why is it that religious tolerance is so important unless you're targeting Catholics, Christians, Jehovah's Witnesses, Muslims? I mean, not Muslims, what do you call it? Mormons. Mormon, Muslim, say, they both start with an M. Right. I love how religious tolerance is so fucking selective. And that's why whenever I hear someone talking about religious tolerance, I just want to slap the fuck out of them. I also need to put some cushioning under the coffee mug so that you don't have to listen to the coffee mug every time I fucking sit it down, except that didn't help either. Okay, let's try that. The arson came during a heated national debate about immigration policy, occurring a day after Donald Trump moved to impose a travel ban on 7 majority Muslim countries. Yeah, you see, it's Donald Trump. So the guy who actually burned down the Muslim mosque wasn't a white guy. It was a brown guy. He was a Mexican. So now we got to figure out how to tie this to white people. Because it's impossible. Of course, Mexicans are, of course, like women. They're objects, not agents. They don't have any agency. We got to figure out a way to blame this brown man who burned down the church of a bunch of other brown people. We got to figure out how to blame this on whitey. We got to trace this back to white people, specifically Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is literally Hitler. Which is fascinating, because if Donald Trump is literally Hitler, who the fuck was Hitler? Perez, 26, an electrician's helper, declined to address the court. His lawyer, Mark DiCarlo, asked the judge for mercy based on the defendant's age and lack of a criminal record. So you didn't play the race card? DiCarlo also deplayed down. Is that actually a word? Once again, journalism majors, journalist and editor, DiCarlo also deplayed down the seriousness of the January 28th, 2017 fire, which reduced the gold-domed mosque to ashes, noting that no one was injured and referred to it as a property crime. Deplayed. Deplayed. He deplayed down the seriousness. Is that a word? Or do you just not know how to write? Maybe I'm out of touch. The kids these days, they got things I don't know about. Assistant U.S. Attorney General something I can't pronounce asked the judge to impose a long prison term. Prison term, fuck, can't read. Quote, the case strikes at the heart of what it means to be an American. No, it doesn't. It does not. The defendant deliberately burned down a house of worship, which would have been totally fine if it would have been a Jehovah's Witness house of worship or a Mormon house of worship. He did not believe the Muslims who worshipped there were true Americans, unquote, which is hilarious because he's not a true American either. And furthermore, how do you know he didn't believe the people worshipping there were true Americans? Did he say that, or are you projecting? The fire, which drew national attention, did this draw national attention? Have you heard of this? Are you aware that a Muslim mosque in Victoria, Texas was burned down in 2017. Was it 2017? It was. Did you know about this? Did this get national attention? Were you awake at night, sleepless in your bed with concern over this mosque being burned down the way you were laying awake last night, sleepless, wide awake with concern over my ability to play Dungeon Siege? The fire, which drew national attention, was one of 99 fires started by arsonists in houses of worship last year, according to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. When did they add explosives? Really, 99. 99 fires in houses of worship. Of those 99, people can't write. Okay. The fire, which drew national attention, was one of 99 fires started by arsonists at houses of worship last year, according to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearm, Explosives. Of those, 99 were listed as arson. So, of the 99 fires started by arsonists, 99 of those were listed as arsons. This isn't even written for third grade level. This is below third grade level, because third graders would also read this and go, well, wait a minute, if there were 99 fires started by arsonists, why do you need to tell me that of those, 99 were listed as arson? You mean that all 99 fires started by arsonists were listed as arsons? This is a college fucking degree, writing this shit right here. This is what, 6 years of college? Another 48 fires were listed as undetermined and 17 remain under investigation. Now, you could say that there were 200 fires in houses of worship and 99 were listed as arson. But to say that there were 99 fires started by arsonists and that 99 of those were listed as arson is to simply show you'd have zero fucking communication. Who wrote this shit? Is it a woman? No. John McCormick. John McCormick, you're a fucking moron. You are an illiterate fucking fuckwad. And of course, there's no mention that Perez is not a white man. Now, if he had been a white man, it would have started off with, you know, a white man, Mark Vincent Perez, blah, blah, blah. The sentencing Wednesday came just weeks after the grand reopening of the new Victoria Islamic Center. It was rebuilt with more than $1 million raised in a GoFundMe site that drew donations from around the world. Ah, yes, attention whoring and cyberbanking. So it was rebuilt with more than $1 million raised in a GoFundMe.com site. Do you mean it was raised with more than $1 million raised on a GoFundMe site? No, it was raised in a GoFundMe site. See, they crawled into the internet. Where did you learn to fucking write? Oh, that's right, public education college. About 24 people were in court Wednesday, including Perez's parents and members of the local Muslim congregation. Dr. Shadid Hamid, a surgeon and one of the founding members of the mosque, said the congregation felt a sense of shock and terror last year. Oh my God, is anything like the shock and terror when you flew airplanes into buildings? Was it anything like the shock and terror when your Messiah president, Hussein Obama, the first affirmative action president, the second coming of Jesus Christ, and the first half-black president, blew up Muslims who were attending weddings with missiles launched from flying robots? Oh, that's right. You didn't have any shock and terror over that because Obama's half black. He can kill all the Muslims he wants. Quote, the peace has been shattered. We have several members who are still afraid to come to our new mosque for prayers. Our mosque used to be open. Everyone was welcome. Now if a stranger comes to our mosque to pray, we look at him with suspicion. Him, unquote. That's what, we look at him, not her, not them. We look at him. We look at men with suspicion. We're afraid to go to our church. Oh my God. Ah. Abe Ajami at times turned to speak directly at Perez. Quote, this incident is bigger than Victoria, and it's not about Mr. Perez. If it's not about Mr. Perez, why is Mr. Perez on trial? Of course it's about Mr. Perez. It's about Mr. Perez and his actions, you fucking dipshit. Videos of the fire are being shown all over the world, he told the judge. They are saying, look what the Americans are doing to the Muslims. This video is being used by radicals for recruitment. Now, of course, the videos of Muslims cutting the heads off of white people being shown around the world, that's totally okay. Sending a message. Everything's sending a message. We send a lot of messages. Not a lot of problems being solved. Not a lot of walls being built. Not a lot of thoughts paying taxes. But sure, a lot of messages getting sent. Sending a message. Perez was found guilty on July 16th of burning down the Orate Mosque, committing a hate crime, and using an unregistered explosive device in an unrelated crime. So, first of all, there's such a thing as an unregistered explosive device. So, where do you go to register your explosive devices? Secondly, what do you mean using an unregistered explosive device in an unrelated crime? If he used an explosive device to blow up the mosque, to burn it down, wouldn't that be related? Or are you saying he used an unregistered explosive device in another crime somewhere else that you haven't mentioned so far in your article? Because writing skills. Jurors heard evidence of Perez's hatred and contempt for Muslims, often expressed in his own words in social media postings and comments to friends. Jurors did not hear anything about Muslims throwing homosexuals off of buildings or cutting off women's clitorises or killing women for having sex out of wedlock. Because those things are okay. Because remember, it's not rape if a Muslim does it. The critical witness against him was his admitted accomplice, a juvenile identified only as KR, who agreed to cooperate with the police. And this, my friends, is why you don't have an accomplice. Dude, other people, when the pressure's on, you can't trust them. The youth described how he and Perez had twice burglarized the mosque, with Perez sitting at a fire on the second visit to, quote, send a message, unquote. The Anti-Defamation League in Houston praised the sentence. Well, of course they did. Quote, this sentence sends a clear message that crimes like these against Muslims and other religious groups, unless they're religious groups that we don't like, will not be tolerated in Texas or anywhere else in the United States, unquote, said Gail Glasser, of course it's a woman, ADL Interim Southwest Regional Director. Quote, no one should feel afraid to practice their religion or express their beliefs unless they are a heterosexual white man and they have beliefs that go against the beliefs of the left-wing establishment. Las Cruces, New Mexico, a District of Columbia clerk and a supervisor refused to accept a New Mexico man's state driver's license as he sought a marriage license because she and her supervisor believed New Mexico was a foreign country. Gavin Clarkson told the Las Cruces Sun News it happened November 20th at the District of Columbia Court's Marriage Bureau as he tried to apply for a marriage license. After approaching the clerk for a license and showing his New Mexico ID, Clarkson said the clerk told him he needed to get an international passport to get the marriage license. Clarkson said he protested to a supervisor who also told him he needed a foreign passport. The clerk finally concluded New Mexico was a state after Clarkson objected three times. Okay, first of all, I'm not really sure New Mexico is a state because I live there. Secondly, just remember, these are the people that you sheep are going to get permission to get married from. Because you're all free in everything, right? You control your own bodies, you're free. And not only do you need permission to get married, But you have to get permission to get married from people who don't know that New Mexico is a state in the United States. Detroit. It's already starting off badly. Police removed the remains of 63 fetuses from a funeral home, and regulators shuttered the business amid a widening investigation of alleged improprieties at local funeral homes. Police Chief James Craig said officers found 36 fetuses in boxes. And 27 others in freezers. during Friday's raid at the Perry Funeral Home. We're gonna go raid the funeral home and look for fetuses. I'm not sure why this is so funny to me, but it is. And I mean, they're fetuses. They're not even people. I mean, it's abortion. They're not people. So let me see if I get this right. If you stick a big, like, needle vacuum cleaner into the skull of a fetus and suck its brains out, that's okay. But then if you take the fetus and you put it in a box, that's wrong. The police will actually raid you for putting a dead fetus in a box. But if the fetus is alive and inside a woman's womb, if you suck its brains out of its skull, that's completely okay. He said he was stunned by the discovery, which came a week after the remains of 10 fetuses and one infant were discovered in a ceiling at the defunct Cantrell Funeral Home. Michigan Licensing and Regulatory Affairs said the remains found at the Perry Funeral Home were turned over to state investigators, who immediately declared the funeral home closed and its license suspended. Investigators for the state's Corporate Securities and Commercial Licensing Bureau said in a statement they had found, quote, heinous conditions and negligent conduct, unquote, at the Perry Funeral Home, including numerous failures to certify death certificates and obtain proper permits for burial. To certify death certificates. So you have a dead person, you have to certify the death certificate? Because what? They might not be dead? And why exactly do you need a proper permit for burial? You got a dead person, you're going to put them in the ground. I mean, we can debate the merits of putting dead people in the ground and all the money that's dumped into that and the waste of real estate and all that. But I mean, they're dead. Why do you need a government permit to put a dead person in the ground? It's a lot like a marriage license. If you're so fucking free, if you own your own body, why do you need permission from the government to get married? Now, you can go someplace and you can have somebody take a vacuum cleaner needle and shove it into the skull of another person's body, as long as that other person's body is inside your that womb. Can't talk. Right, you can suck their brains out, totally okay, because you can do what you want with this other person's body. But if you want to take your body and get married, you need permission from the government. And if you want to take a dead body Pretty sure it's dead. It's been laying here for a couple of days. It's filled with embalming fluid. Pretty fucking sure it's dead. If you want to take a dead body and you want to put it in the ground, we have to certify the death certificate and obtain proper permits. The agency's statement said Friday's findings point clearly toward criminal offenses of state laws regulating funeral homes that could be felonies punishable by imprisonment for not more than 10 years or a fine of not more than $50,000 or both. Oh my goodness. Craig said the investigation into the Perry funeral home began after a man who had sued that business over the handling of Craig said that the investigation into the Perry funeral home began after a man who has sued that business over its handling of remains of infants and fetuses saw coverage of the discoveries at the Cantrell funeral home and told his attorney general to contact police. Who is this person who's suing funeral homes over the handling of dead fetuses? Once again, they're fetuses. They're not people. Remember, if they were people, all right, I'm making a little leap here because I'm sort of thinking, usually you think about a fetus laying around, you think about abortion. Maybe these fetuses didn't come from abortions. The lawsuit, filed in July, alleges that the Perry funeral stored the remains of stillborn... Here we go. We're answering the question right now. Stored the remains of stillborn and live birth babies in the morgue of the Wayne State University School of Mortuary Science for up to 3 years without trying to notify parents. Because the parents didn't know their kids were dead? What do you mean notify parents? Of what? Hey, by the way, your child was stillborn and it's dead. Oh shit, we hadn't noticed. Some of whom wanted to donate the bodies for medical research. Here's another thing. Okay. So the baby is stillborn. How does the baby get from coming out of the woman's cooch and being stillborn directly to the care of the funeral home? How is there nothing between this where there's the opportunity for the parents to take control of the stillborn baby? Okay, now how many people, so you're a woman. Okay, so if you're listening to this, go ahead and shave off like 20 of your IQ points right now. You're a woman. You just got stupider, I know. You're a woman. You're pregnant. You're about to give birth. And it's happening, right? And you solve some, bam, the water breaks and the kid's coming out. You don't know it's going to be stillborn, but you know you're giving birth. You immediately go to the funeral home. You go to a hospital. If you're having a stillborn baby, scenario number one, it happens wherever you happen to be at the time, at the grocery store, at your house, whatever. Statistically speaking, not likely you're going to be at a funeral home. Or it's at a hospital. So how do you get from point A, where the stillborn baby comes out of the woman's uterus, to point B, where the stillborn baby is in the Wayne State University School of Mortuary Science? How did the fucking body get from point A to point B with the parents not knowing about it? How does that happen? It also alleges the funeral home may have fraudulently billed Medicaid as well as the Detroit Medical Center for burials it never performed. Oh no, wait. Fraud in the healthcare and Medicaid industry? No fucking way. The attorneys in that suit, Peter Parks and Daniel Klisak, said they believed many more infants' remains may be found in the improper possession of Perry Funeral Home, perhaps as many as 200, based on research of logbooks kept by the Wayne State School. Quote, I'm really wondering where the rest of them are, unquote, Kuslinski said Friday. Well, I don't know. Are there any Asian restaurants anywhere in the vicinity? Ooh, dead baby joke and racist, all in one. Yes, score. Craig said law enforcement agencies were considering forming a task force to target improper storage of remains and fraud in this area. Okay, the police in Detroit are thinking about setting up a task force to specifically deal with improperly handled dead babies. Just meditate on that for a moment, will you please? A specific task force to deal with the improper handling of dead babies. That's your tax money at work. As part of investigators' widening probe, Detroit police raided another funeral home, the Q.A. Cantrell Funeral Home in suburban Detroit's East Point, along with a home in Grosse Pointe Woods. The recent discovery of the 10 fetuses and one infant in the Cantrell Funeral Home came after state inspectors in April shuttered that business after finding 21 improperly stored bodies, some of them covered in mold in the facility. Where are we? All right, I think, shit. There's nothing left but long stuff. That's what she said. There's this, and then there's this. Oh my God, this is so long. That's what she said. Oh my God, God damn it. All right. Let me do this one. All right, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to try to do that. Okay. Columbus, Ohio. A family of four. There'll be a picture of these people in the show notes. A family of four arrested Tuesday in the gruesome slaying of eight people from another family in rural Ohio 2 years ago carefully planned the killings for months in a criminal. Prosecutors vaguely explained as in what? In a crime. Prosecutors, you're going to love this. In a crime, prosecutors vaguely explained as a custody dispute, authorities said. Ohio Attorney General Mark DeWine said a grand jury indicted the four on aggravated murder charges and that they could be sentenced to death if they are convicted. DeWine gave scant detail about why they were killed, but he did say the custody of a young child played a role. Arrested were four members of the Wagner family who lived near the scene of the killings about 60 miles south of Columbus. One of those arrested was Edward Jake Wagner, 26, who was the longtime former boyfriend of 19-year-old Hannah Roden, one of the eight victims, and shared custody of their daughter at the time of the massacre. By the way, I looked it up on the interwebs. The daughter is like 4 years old, so she got knocked up when she was like 15. The others arrested were Wagner's father, George Billy Wagner III, his wife, 48-year-old Angela Wagner, and George Wagner IV. Now, you go look at the picture of these people. These are the whitest of the white trash you have ever seen in your life. This is inbreeding. This is what white people inbreeding looks like. This is what it looks like when your mom is also your sister. Oh my God. the whiteness and the trashness of these four people. This is the whitest trash that has ever been trashy white, ever. Police in Kentucky say the FBI tracked Billy Wagner to Lexington, where he was arrested without incident around 12:30 p.m. Tuesday. Lexington police said they weren't sure if he'd been living in the area. Authorities said Wagner was arrested in a horse trailer. Now, when I first read this, I laughed for a solid 5 minutes. I looked this up on the interwebs to find he was apparently hiding in a horse trailer to escape the police. He was arrested in a horse trailer. Now, I've heard of people, being arrested in a church, being arrested in a shopping mall, being arrested naked, being arrested drunk, being arrested with a prostitute, being arrested in their home. I've never before heard of anyone being arrested in a horse trailer. Blah, 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 blah. Authorities said marijuana growing operations were found at three of the four crime scenes. That's not uncommon in this corner of Appalachia, but stoked rumors that the slayings were related to drugs. One of the many theories on possible motives. Or it could just be that too much inbreeding and too much welfare results in stupid people. Okay, speaking of stupid people. Now, I don't know who Beto O'Rourke is. Hold on. Let's find out real quick. I got the fucking browser up. I have a new computer keyboard. This thing is so nice. It's so tactile. I love it. Beto O'Rourke. Oh, Beto O'Rourke wife. All right, let's see what his wife looks like first. No. Why did no one mention that Beto O'Rourke's wife is a billionaire heiress? Probably because... Oh my god. Yeah, this guy is a beta cuck. Probably because he is trying to position himself as a man of the people and all this other horse shit. Alright, let me get back. Beto O'Rourke. Wikipedia. See, now we're going down the rabbit hole. All right. Robert Francis Beto O'Rourke, American businessman and politician who served Texas's 16th congressional district for 3 terms in the United States House of Representatives. O'Rourke was one of the 2018 Democrat nominee. Yeah, O'Rourke was the 2018 Democratic nominee for the Texas Senate race, which he lost to Republican incumbent Ted Cruz. All right, so that's what we need to know. Oh, he has a music career. Oh, look, we're on Wikipedia. He's a fan of punk music. Oh my goodness. A fucking loser. After graduation, O'Rourke worked as a live-in caretaker and art mover before working for an internet service provider. Whoa, wow. Later, he took a position at the H.W. Wilson Company as a proofreader, and he wrote short stories and songs in his free time. Well, obviously, he's qualified to make laws that affect other people's lives. You fucking status. The fact that you want people like this to control your life because you're too stupid to control your own life. All right, so anyhow, here's what happened. Beto lost the election. This that I'm about to read you is an op-ed piece written by Mimi Schwartz. Great one. Who the fuck is Mimi Schwartz? You know what? I don't know. Let's go find out. We're not even going to get to this. We're going to go down so many fucking... Oh my God. Old, short hair, ugly. All right. That's all we needed to know. Oh, she thinks she's an author. Mimi Schwartz, Amazon.com. Mimi Schwartz, senior executive editor of Texas Monthly Magazine, continuing op-ed writer for the New York Times. She wrote, Ticker, the quest to create an artificial heart. Power Failure, the inside story of the collapse of Enron. The Stories We Tell, classic true tales by America's greatest women journalist. That's the shortest fucking book ever written. All right, that's who she is. This is an op-ed piece where she's going to rationalize away Beto's loss. All right, here we go. We're reading this because we can learn a lot here about the left-wing statist brain, such as it is. The condolence emails are already coming in. Okay, first of all, if you're such a fucking loser that people send you condolence emails, because a politician lost an election, that right there, there's a giant indicator that you should probably kill yourself. Or at the least, the people sending you the condolences should kill themselves. I mean, Ron Paul lost an election. I didn't send anybody an email saying, oh my God, I'm so sorry Ron Paul lost the election. I mean, who are you people? We know who you are. You're statist. You're losers. You're garbage. You're inferior. Who are you that you're so wrapped up in politics that when someone loses an election, you would send another person you know a condolence email? Fucking Christ almighty, you people are goddamn losers. The condolence emails are already coming in from New York and California and from my neighbors down the street who are mostly limiting themselves to unprintable but predictable four-letter words. Yes, that's because you leftists are so articulate. All you can do is use bad language when you lose because you just can't handle losing because you're snowflakes. Because you love democracy until you lose. And then suddenly everybody is literally Hitler. Everyone I don't like is literally Hitler, everyone except for me. Yes, Beto O'Rourke lost to Ted Cruz, 51% to 48%, an outcome that surprised almost no seasoned politicos around these parts. They've been predicting it for months. Of course, they also predicted that Hillary Clinton was going to win the election, so I don't think the predictions of the seasoned politicos are worth very much, are they, you dumb bitch? Some since the congressman from El Paso first announced his candidacy last year, rest assured that the Monday morning quarterbacking will proceed apace starting now. In fact, it kind of started last Sunday, November the 4th, with a lengthy critique in the Politico that quoted mostly Republican operatives, Karl Rove, back from the dead, who cited O'Rourke's failure to tack toward the middle, instead doing crazy things, in Texas at least, like supporting the NFL players who took a knee to protest police brutality. No, the NFL players did not take a knee to protest police brutality. The NFL players took a knee to get attention. What's the difference between an NFL player and a 15-year-old girl with an Instagram account? Exactly. I don't know either. That's the fucking point. There is no difference. There will be a lot more reasons given for why O'Rourke lost. Yeah, because he didn't get enough votes. That's why you lose elections. You didn't get enough votes. Some experts will suggest old ideas, stressing the power of the incumbency, and others newer ideas, as in O'Rourke spent too much time on social media encouraging the same like-minded folks to keep talking to one another. See, we lost. Let me devote an entire op-ed column to rationalizing away the loss and talking about how we didn't really lose, because that's where this is going. People will say that the campaign was disorganized, more focused on the candidate's winning personality than real issues, that O'Rourke let Cruz define him instead of the opposite, and Cruz did just that, painting O'Rourke as a far-left wing nut who would let terrorists cross the Rio Grande and endanger the lives of God-fearing Texans. Well, I mean, he's a leftist. He is a left-wing nut. Whenever I heard Cruz opine that O'Rourke was just wrong for Texas, my stomach would lurch a little. Because, of course, you're not using your brain, you're using your emotions. But before all of O'Rourke's errors are carved in stone in the next few hours, as if O'Rourke... Here's another... do you think O'Rourke matters? First of all, nobody on the planet other than the people in that general area have even heard of O'Rourke. And nobody remembers O'Rourke. I mean, Sarah Palin, who I, at least people remember Sarah Palin and make fun of her. She's still the butt of jokes. I mean, there's nothing carved in stone here. Nobody knows who Beto O'Rourke is. Nobody gives a shit. He's another fucking left-wing statist fucking soy boy who lost an election. He has already faded into obscurity. Once again, those of you listening to this podcast, have any of you heard of this guy? No, you haven't. Before all of O'Rourke's errors are carved into stone in the next few hours, maybe it's worth taking a minute to say that, whatever his flaws, O'Rourke came very close to defeating a powerful incumbent. Okay, not one who is exactly beloved, and he did it pretty much as he promised, without going negative and by raising a whole bunch of money without the help of PACs or fancy political consultants. Well, he almost accomplished something. Gosh, you know... You don't really get awards for almost doing things. Neil Armstrong didn't almost land on the moon. That's not how it works. Here's how it does work. We're going to take a break, let the music play. I'll be back because I do want to finish this off. While I was playing, I was stretching myself there and looking for something soft to stand on. I couldn't find yoga pants girl's butt. So anyhow, that reminded me, got to tell you guys this quick little story, because we got a tangent. God forbid we don't fucking tangent. So I got the office chair, and the office chair is somewhat uncomfortable on the butt, and also just a little bit lower than it needs to be. So over time, I've been trying different things out. Like, you fold up a blanket, you throw it on there, and it didn't really work. got a pillow, threw the pillow on there, said it didn't really work, so now the pillow is on my bed. So it's like, fuck, why can't I just not find something that works? Okay, so then I buy the $500 pickup truck, right? And I got the $500 pickup truck and the seats are fairly ragged out. So I go, I'm gonna go to the fucking store. I'm gonna go to Walmart, which oppresses poor people and all that other stuff. And I'm gonna buy some kind of cushy seat thingy to throw on the seat of the pickup so my butt doesn't fucking hurt. So I go there and I find this gel foam seat cushion thingy for your truck, right? And I throw that and buy that, throw it in the truck, sitting on it. I'm like, this is great. And then suddenly it occurs to me, this is exactly what I need for the fucking office chair. I go to Walmart, I buy another one, throw it in the chair, sit down. Perfect. Why did this not occur to me already? Office chair, buy a goddamn seat cushion made for a goddamn vehicle. It's the fucking one of the best things I've done lately. The only bad thing about the gel seat cushion thingy in the pickup truck is that because it's kind of jelly. When it's cold, and oh my God, we just went through a snap here where the temperature at night was going below zero. So get up in the morning, go down and hop in the pickup and you sit down on this fucking frozen square of gel. It's like, shit, that is fucking cold on my fucking butt. All right, enough about my butt. Let us get back to the rationalizations and the derangement of a left-wing statist. The early fears that O'Rourke would be eclipsed by Cruz's millions in dark money never materialized. Cruz raised $40 million to O'Rourke's $70 million. So O'Rourke siphoned $70 million from leftists because, of course, these are all poor people, right? All the poor people have lots of money to give away because Democrats care so much about poor people. That's who they're representing. O'Rourke managed to drum up $70 million and still lost the election. He was the first Democratic candidate in a very long time to engage new voters in Texas. So you're saying that all the Democratic candidates in the past have all failed to engage new voters in Texas. It's always great when people admit their past failures without knowing they're admitting their failures. What you're saying is the Democrat candidates in the past have failed. And who might these new voters be? Oh, we're about to find out. Take a wild guess. Go ahead and take a wild guess. He was the first Democratic candidate in a very long time to engage new voters in Texas. Women, young people, people of color, otherwise known as colored people, many of whom had given up on the political process. Actually, most of whom shouldn't be allowed to participate in the political process. On election day, my 52-year-old Uber driver showed me his first ever voter registration and asked me what he had to do to cast his vote. Because yes, if you're not smart enough to figure out how to vote, obviously you should be voting. You're not smart enough to figure out how to actually do the process of voting. Clearly, you should be making decisions that affect hundreds of thousands of millions of other people via the political process. Yes, obviously, you have a fucking excellent working knowledge of law, economics, sociology. Yeah, all these things that would entitle you to have an opinion on who should be in the government and control the lives of other people. Not only should voting require an IQ test, you should also have to run an obstacle course to actually do it. Oh, I'm sorry, you can't climb over a wall because you're too fat? Well, gee, looks like your vote's not important. He was a large man, which means fat, whose arms were covered in homemade tattoos. Wait, whoa, whoa, hold on. He was a fat person with homemade tattoos. Was his name George Wagner IV? Or George Billy Wagner III? This is who we need voting. This is who we need to have making political decisions. Fat people with homemade tattoos. And he spent most of his days, when he wasn't working, taking care of his mother, a legal immigrant from Mexico. The fact that we have to specify that she's a legal immigrant tells us something is fishy. A legal immigrant from Mexico who was terrified that somehow she would be deported. Okay, she's terrified she's going to be deported because she's not a legal immigrant. He'd never voted before, but now he wanted to, quote, for Beto, unquote, he kept repeating like an incantation. He just wants to do this for Beto. Because it's like a religion. Because you see, Beto is going to magically give POCs, that's colored people, free stuff. I just gotta do it for Beto. Hey, what? How empty is your life? I didn't vote for Donald Trump, but I still feel a little slimy from even participating in the electoral process. But I didn't vote for Donald Trump for Trump. Who in the fuck votes for a politician for the politician? Oh, I so desperately want Beto to win. I mean, God, that's even more fucking broken than voting for a politician because you think you're going to get free shit. Like the people who voted for Bernie Sanders because they thought they were going to get free college. Oh, yeah, I can understand that. I mean, I voted for Donald Trump because I thought I was going to get a wall and Hillary Clinton in a jail cell. I was stupid. But when you're voting for the politician, for the politician, you're not even smart enough to vote for the politician for what you can selfishly get from that. I saw the same passion in a sacker at my grocery store. These are the people voting for Beto. Uber drivers with homemade tattoos who are illegal or have illegal mothers, illegal immigrant mothers, and people who sack fucking groceries. People who should not be making political decisions. And in countless others who organized and knocked on doors because they had too much free time because none of them are contributing to the economy. And wrote checks because they had finally found a Texas candidate who gave them something to be for instead of against. Who made them feel they mattered. Because if you don't matter unless some politician says so, then you're right, you don't matter. And once again, so this is the first Democrat candidate who's made these people feel like they matter. So all the Democrats before have been a failure, and these people are all losers. If you need a fucking politician to make you feel like you matter, that means you should be dead. 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 Somebody should take a fucking needle that's hooked to a vacuum cleaner, shove it into your skull, and suck your brains out. If you need a politician to make you feel like you matter, you are inferior. And part of your future may include being arrested in a horse trailer. All right, let's get back to the justification. Maybe this was a failed campaign to the experts. No, it was a failed campaign in the sense that he didn't win. Maybe this was a failed campaign to the experts, but for a lot of people, myself included, there was a lot of good in it. A chance to see the Texas I've always known was there, a place where working people and immigrants still have the right to thrive alongside those with much more. Yes, because right now, those people who work and those immigrants, I mean, they're getting shot, they're getting raped, they're getting deported. Anytime they do get a job, they get fired by white people. If they get any money, Republicans break into their house at night and steal it. Yeah, but God, they're so oppressed. Oh, they're so oppressed. A place where people are energized by the political process because they saw a way to make a difference. If you're energized by the political process, you're a fucking loser. O'Rourke gave Texans who have long felt disenfranchised a glimpse of what could be. Once again, if you need a politician to be franchised, maybe it's because you're lazy and stupid. And I hope they don't take his defeat as a sign that victory is beyond their grasp. It wasn't all for nothing. The enthusiasm for O'Rourke most likely helped less glamorous and less moneyed candidates win down the ballot. The youthful attorney, Lizzie Pennell Fletcher, beat the self-satisfied Republican Congressman John Culberson, who had represented West Houston since 2001. The youthful attorney, Lizzie. All right, let's find out how youthful Lizzie actually is. Since we're going over, let's do this. Interesting. All right, here we go. Where's her fucking name? Lizzie Pennell Fletcher, is that her? Yep. So the first thing is Lizzie Pennell Fletcher, and the second thing is Lizzie Pennell Fletcher age. Everyone's Googling her age, apparently. All right. Okay. Girls, I know this is going to be so tough for you to understand. I get it because you don't understand the concept of the wall. Even when it hits you, you still think it's not there. Okay. Lizzie is not youthful. Lizzie is 43. Okay, 43 is not youthful. Youthful. It's like 22 is youthful. 43 is not youthful, girls. 43 is not young. I know you think that 43 is the new 17. 43 is the wall. The nothing but delusion. The complete inability to grasp reality. In North Dallas, the Democrat Colin Allred, a black, we had to mention what skin color he has, a black former NFL player and civil rights attorney, another lawyer, defeated the Republican Pete Sessions, who had held office for 22 years and was chairman of the House Rules Committee and had sworn vengeance on Obamacare. Marie Tessa Coomer, the president of Vote Latino, because remember, it's wrong to target people because of their race. Vote Latino, which mobilizes Latino voters. Once again, if you have to be mobilized to vote, you probably shouldn't be voting. Said that her organization saw a 500% increase in registration among young Latino voters in Texas, the state that previously had the lowest voter participation of all. It's also true that many of these same politicos who had been hanging Krepp for O'Rourke for months now suggest that for him, this is the beginning, not the end. Most likely, he will run for the Senate again in 2020, this time against the Republican who decides to run for the seat John Kroiner is expected to vacate. Most Texans know that when you fall off a horse, the best thing to do is get back on again. So you see, this Democrat lost, but it's okay. It's okay because his loss is a great thing because we got more illegal immigrants to vote and all the poor people and dumb people that she interacted with supported him and everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. Oh yeah, and 43 years old is actually young if you're a woman.